This is the Lindy's Football Report. The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in-depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Stroud, pressure, goes down, and that's going to do it. Game over. Oregon has defeated Ohio State 35-28. Goosebumps.
First and 10 at the Iowa State 6 as Purdy awaits the snap. They're going to run straight ahead with Hall. Get him down. Oh, the ball's out. The ball's out. Iowa picks it up. Touchdown. Touchdown, Iowa. Touchdown, Jack Campbell. A little Campbell soup.
Quarterback Green gets the call. He's got room inside the 25. Inside the 20. Green's going to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. A.J. Green for 30 yards. The Razorbacks are piling it on now.
Well, you wanted more upsets? You got them. Another weekend of exciting finishes, including another FCS team winning a thriller. We'll get to that later. Thanks to Learfield, by the way, for the sounds of last Saturday. Well, Michael, we have a top five this week that does not include Ohio State or Clemson.
Clemson fell out last week. Now it's Ohio State's turn. And they're staples in this playoff era. They've been in just about every one of these CFPs. Can they get back? Well, these were out-of-conference losses with the inclusion of Ohio State's defeat against Oregon last week. And they can't because they play a conference schedule that they can get to the conference title game, win their conference, still be in the Final Four, but it leaves little room for error. And I don't know if you get a two-loss champ in the playoff. We haven't had one yet.
They're also going through the what Bama is done type scenarios online. Everybody's saying Clemson's done. Everybody's saying Ohio State's done. A little premature.
It is. There's plenty of time to make their way back in. They didn't fall that far back. So I expect these two teams to be contenders in the end.
Yeah. And by the way, we need to say congratulations to Arkansas. Nice win.
Definitely. A huge win over Texas. Texas, a top 25 team. I don't know if they were really a top 25 team, but it was a big win for Arkansas.
Well, another coach is out of a job after only 2 weeks into 2021. Southern Cal Athletic Director Mike Bond announced that the program has released Clay Helton after six-plus seasons. Bond made his first public comment on the USC Trojans Network on Monday.
The thing I'm most proud of is the members of the Trojan family that were so supportive of ensuring that the news was shared with our team directly from Coach Helton and I together before anybody else, period. And I think that demonstrates our commitment and living our value or our vision of being the most student-athlete-centered program in the country. And I think it's really important that our players knew that and that they didn't get it from some other source. So I was really proud of those that helped us because that was something that was very, very important to us.
Did anybody catch that, that apparently Coach Helton was standing by his side when Bond told the team that he was being fired?
It's an odd thing. Isn't it? Usually the coach is dismissed and he's on his way. You don't stand beside him and say, yeah, I'm with him on this. He couldn't be happy with that. It's so surprising and abrupt so early. I know that it was a shocking loss to a lot of people, USC losing at home by double digits. And he's been on the hot seat, even though he was 5-1 last year, played for the Pac-12 championship. He's been decent, been good actually at times. It's an early departure that I was a little surprised about, to be honest.
The standard, though. USC has it. He wasn't living up to it, and therefore he's out. It's been 50 years since the game of the century took place on Thanksgiving Day, 1971. Top-ranked Nebraska, led by Johnny Rogers and Jerry Taggi, faced Greg Pruitt, Jack Mildred, and the Oklahoma Sooners. The winner would face Alabama in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day in 72. That would be the Huskers, who won the showdown with Oklahoma 35-31. Well, that was then. This is now. Nebraska is not expected to win on Saturday when they travel to Norman. In fact, few give the Huskers a chance against the third-ranked Sooners to barely score. But the tradition is still there, and even though Sooners coach Lincoln Riley was born 12 years after the game was played, he's aware of the significance.
I've seen, you know, replays and highlights from several of the old games before. Certainly was aware of the rivalry and its significance in college football. I know everybody talks about the game of the century, but there was a lot of phenomenal games and players and moments in that. It felt like, how do you pick just one? You know, like it almost minimizes it. So we had a little slide prepared that showed the history of it when it started, highlighted some key games, some of the different players, all the different, you know, one versus two matchups, all the significance for conference and national championships. And so and we talked a lot about, again, just the importance to our former players, people that were a part of that rivalry. And if it's important to those people, it's important to us.
So many statistics I could sit here and reel off. I don't have time, but here's the one that probably meant the most to me. 55 million people on Thanksgiving Day interrupted their Thanksgiving meal to watch this game.
Yeah, it was huge back then. And in its heyday, it was always one of the top two or three games every year. That's what's so tough for me as a fan, a traditionalist in college football, is when this game disappeared from the schedule, because it was a big rivalry for a lot of those folks. I don't know if it's such a big rivalry for Riley and Frost, but it's lost in a generation. And these young players, they don't know anything about it hardly.
I imagine they're probably walking around their locker rooms this week saying, what's the big deal?
I mean, some of them probably are, yes.
Well, three games are on this week's schedule featuring ranked teams. That includes number 19 Arizona State traveling to 23rd ranked Brigham Young. But the two biggest featured teams from the SEC, top-ranked Alabama travels to Gainesville to face 11th-ranked Florida in a rematch of last year's SEC championship. And in Happy Valley, 10th-ranked Penn State will welcome the Auburn Tigers to Beaver Stadium for the first time ever. The Tigers are ranked 22nd this week. They've won by 60 points in both of their games, the first since 1932. But this will be a tad different, with the Nittany Lions holding a whiteout Saturday on the evening. Jed Donahue of the Pennsylvania Sports Network sees an old-fashioned slugfest in this one.
Giveaway, takeaway, it always is, especially for the road team like Auburn. Don't throw some kind of pick six or have some kind of short field turnover and that sort of thing. I think first score or getting your feet settled in, don't let the game get away from you and let the whiteout in this crowd kind of dictate tempo and things like that. And I think the kicking game, I am not big on Penn State being able to win a game with a 40-yard field goal and things like that. And I know Auburn has had terrific special teams. That's part of their DNA. And I think a special teams play could determine the outcome.
That means that this one may come down to a field goal, is what he's trying to say.
It could. I expect it to be a good game. It's great that Penn State is getting to host a whiteout again after last year.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that their team has reversed their fate from last year. They started so slowly. They lost the first five games. Taking the wins from last year at the end of the year and adding them to this year, it's a six-game win streak for Penn State. And this game is big for Penn State. It's huge for James Franklin. Bigger for him, I think, than first-year coach Brian Harsin at Auburn.
And, by the way, he has a win over Auburn at Vanderbilt. He beat
him
back in 2012. Alabama and Florida met just 9 months ago in the SEC championship. The Gators came as close as anybody to knocking off the Tide in what was a perfect 13-0 season. The Gators get another chance on Saturday, this time at the Swamp. There are a few key elements missing from the Florida offense, namely Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts. At the moment, Dan Mullen is employing a two-quarterback system with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson, which, by the way, is the fans' choice. Will the system work? Buddy Martin of Gatorbait Media breaks it down.
It's going to be a two-quarterback team. I talked to Coach Spurrier about it. He pointed out that he had the two-quarterback system once where he rotated the quarterbacks every play. And that's not what he's going to do. Mullen has always had two quarterbacks and always played the second one meaningful downs. Matter of fact, in that Alabama game last year, in the third series, the quarterback was, in fact, Emory Jones. He didn't send a second man for cleanup duty. He puts them in games and gives them the experiences. And so I think Mullen is going to have some form of that. And the question is, how many reps do you get? Well, the way it's going now, I can't see Anthony Richardson not playing a third or half the reps, because he is the most spectacular young quarterback I have ever seen at the University of Florida.
Now, that's high praise from a man who has covered Florida for a long time.
I think of a bunch of them that won the Heisman Trophy. Three of them come to mind: Tebow, Werfel, and Spurrier.
Yeah.
Come on. Seriously? That's a lot of pressure on one guy. He's the backup.
I know.
He's a second stringer.
But he's also averaging 25 yards a carry.
Yeah, he leads the team in rushing.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that works out. But again, it's the swamp. It'll be full. And Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama, first time he's faced that.
First true road test as the starter for Alabama. That's in a full capacity stadium in the swamp. So, yes, it could play a factor in this game. I do look at quarterback play. I do want to know what's going to happen with Florida and how successful they can be. It appears Alabama's defense is better than it was last year. In Florida, they have struggled some defensively so far. And I don't know that Alabama's as explosive. I certainly would say not right now as they were last year. We won't have a 52-46 game, I don't think.
I feel confident you're right.
Yeah.
And one more thing. Last weekend, there were 37 games featuring an FCS team traveling on the road to face an FBS team. Only one of those 37 won, and it was as big as ever. Jacksonville State knocking off Florida State on the last play of the game. That was the eighth time out of 76 tries an FCS team has won this season. One of those, Montana over Washington, was the lone FCS win over a ranked team. The fifth time that has happened since Appalachian State knocked off Michigan in the Big House in 2007. It was also the sixth overall. Along with Jacksonville State's win, three of the FCS wins have been against Power 5 conference teams. What was the first ever FCS win over an FBS team? Well, it was 1983. Cincinnati, which was briefly a member of 1AA, beat 20th-ranked Penn State, the defending national champion that year. That's the same season the Bearcats also tied Kentucky. The coach that 1 year for Cincinnati, Watson Brown, who later went on to coach his alma mater, Vanderbilt, for five seasons. This week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week takes us to the wild finish in Tallahassee, where the Jacksonville State Gamecocks scored the winning touchdown on the last play of the game. Zarek Cooper hit Damon Filial Johnson for a 59-yard strike for the win. From the Gamecock Network, here's Mike Paris with a call.
Snap to Cooper, looking down the field. He's got a man, caught it. He's free, Filial Johnson at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! There are no flags. Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
College football season is here. And the best place to get great tailgate gear is Academy Sports and Outdoors. Swing by your local Academy store or shop online at academy.com, where you can find grills, canopies, portable chairs, and other fan faves for game day glory. Plus, get official team jerseys, shirts, hats, and more, all at prices you'll love. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
The Lindy's Football Report.
It is the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, Nebraska-Oklahoma. But it's not Chris Schenkel. It's Michael Butler.
It's the Big Red Machine versus Boomer Sooner in the renewal of an old Big 8 rivalry. Remember the Big 2 and Little 6? Nebraska and Oklahoma commemorating the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, as it was known at the time, back when the term wasn't overused. Played in Norman on Thanksgiving Day in 1971, with national championship implications, it drew a national TV audience of 55 million, the largest for a college football game at the time. Bob Devaney had food flown in to prevent gamblers' attempts at food poisoning his Huskers team. Nebraska won 35-31 and went on to claim the 71 title. Oklahoma ended the season at number 2. In this weekend's early season tilt, it appears that just one team has real title hopes. The Sooners are a 23-point favorite. But don't count out the Cornhuskers. They did bounce back from their disappointing Game 1 loss versus Illinois with a W last week over Buffalo.
It's time for another visit with Gridiron Chef Doc.
Graham, Michael, Lynn, everybody at the Lindy's Football Report. Gridiron Chef Doc here reporting in with another weekly recipe, and I'm going to give you my most award-winning and requested recipe. It is a lovely marinated protein in blacktop marinated flank steak. What we're going to do is get that beautiful muscle meat, score it, roll it up in a Ziploc bag, and the marination begins. The marination station includes fresh garlic, soy sauce, and wonderful dark sherry. It's a magical combination. You're going to grill this to medium rare. You're going to boil your marinade when you take it out of the bag and use it as a finishing sauce. You can get this recipe at tailgatehomegatenation.com or email me at tailgatehomegatenation@gmail.com. That is your recipe. Have a delicious and nutritious and safe weekend of college football.
It's time to visit with Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and lindysports.com. Lynn, last weekend, another great week of college football, and what made it so great, we had upsets.
Just like we talked about last week on the show, and my column, you know, last week was about the fact that we're having these upsets, and, you know, obviously everybody knows about Ohio State losing to Oregon, first time Oregon had ever beaten Ohio State, and first time I think they had beaten the number one team. You had Arkansas didn't only beat Texas, they beat them to death, and at one point had them like 33-7 or something in the second half. Unexpected. Brigham Young, they had not beaten Utah in like 6 years, and they turned the tables on them and really kind of controlled the game. Vanderbilt didn't score but 3 points at home against East Tennessee, and they go out to Colorado State and win that ball game. The big upset from our standpoint, Jacksonville State and Florida State. The one that was the most consequence was Stanford and Southern Cal. And that prompted the dismissal of Clay Helton. And so, you know, it's kind of early in the year for this to be done, but it's Southern Cal has done it that way before, and some other teams have as well. And if the prevalence of these upsets keeps happening, we might keep having more like that.
Yeah, and speaking of Clay Helton and being released, it has given a lot of coaches' agents a chance to go to their employer and say, hey, we're thinking about taking the job at USC. What about a raise?
Yeah, when these kind of openings come up, I think the guy that got fired might ought to get a kickback from some of these other coaches because it happens multiple times every year. Clay Helton, I hate it for Clay. He's a good guy. He had not had any scandals in the program that I'm aware of. He'd won 2/3 of his games in the playing in the Power Five conference, and if you recall, did not come in under the greatest circumstances. So. I think, winning 2/3 of your ball games in 7 years in a Power Five conference is not that bad. But there were obviously some folks that wanted him to be gone, kind of the same way that we had with Les Miles at LSU a few years ago and Southern Miss a few years ago with Coach Bauer, I believe. And, let's see what happens. You know, there have been a number of teams that have released coaches. And in hindsight, they've looked back and thought, well, did we really do the right thing? I mean, Look right now where Tennessee is, where Nebraska is, other programs that have released coaches and things didn't work out just quite like they thought it was going to. I'm hopeful for Southern Cal that this works out okay. I hope that for Clay Helton it works out okay. But sometimes you got to be careful what you want or what you pray for because you might get it and it might not be everything you thought it was going to be.
Before we get into some games, and I'm going to surprise you with this, Oklahoma-Nebraska renewing a 50th anniversary of the 1971 game of the century. How much do you remember about that game?
Vividly. That's one of the best football games I've ever seen. And I've been watching football games a long time. Extremely memorable. And then those two teams go on and play Alabama and Auburn in the bowl games. At that time, of course, there wasn't playoffs. And those two teams beat Alabama and Auburn pretty handily. So, yeah, I remember it well. I'm afraid this one's not going to be of the competitive nature that that one was, Graham. If Nebraska stays close in this ball game, I'll be surprised.
I think we all agree with that. All right, let's pick these games. We got a couple of games within the top 25. We'll get to those in a minute. Let's start, though, with Cincinnati and Indiana.
It's a really big game that's going under the radar because Cincinnati sits down there in the middle of the top 10. But Cincinnati plays this game against Indiana, and then they got a game coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe it is, at Notre Dame. And if Cincinnati could win those two ball games, they could run the table, theoretically, and be a legitimate contender for the college football playoffs. This one would be worth the price of admission just to see the quarterback battle between Michael Penix at Indiana and Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati. I think we'll take Cincinnati.
How about Oklahoma State and Boise State?
It's a wide-open offensive game. That way, if you look at the statistics on those teams and the points they score, I'd like to see it. There are several games this week that I would love to see. This is one of them that's just going to be a fun ball game to watch. I suspect Boise State wins it. They're the home team. They don't lose a lot up there. But it's going to be a wide-open game, and I look forward to seeing it.
How about Arizona State and Brigham Young?
Can I just repeat everything I just said about Boise State and Oklahoma State? I think it's the same kind of deal. I think you got two wide-open offensive teams. I think it'll be a very entertaining ball game if you go either way. I lean toward Arizona State. I think they may have a little bit better team. But, it again, same kind of deal. BYU playing at home wouldn't surprise me. But it's much like Boise State and Oklahoma State, be a great, fun game to watch.
All right. How about Auburn going to Penn State?
Really big game. Penn State's got a lot on the line here. They got a lot to prove. They started 0-5 last year, and people were kind of down on them. They got a really, really good team. They got a solid quarterback. They've got one of the best receiving corps in the country. And if they were to win this ball game, with Ohio State already having lost, they become a legit contender to win the Big Ten, and the winner of the Big Ten is a legit contender to go to the college football playoff. Auburn's sort of a similar situation in that they weren't picked as high either, and they've had two dominating wins against two lesser opponents, for sure. If Auburn could win the game, you got to look at them as being a legitimate contender in the Western Division of the SEC. And again, whoever wins that division is going to be a contender for the college football playoff. But I'm going with Penn State for two reasons. They played at Wisconsin and won, which means they've played the most difficult game. The competition has been tougher than Auburn. And it's going to be a wild place at Penn State with 100,000 people and the whiteout and the first real game at Penn State in 2 years where you haven't had to wear a COVID mask. So I'm going to think the home field advantage goes to Penn State. So I'm taking them to win this one.
And how about Alabama at Florida?
Until somebody proves to me that Alabama's going to lose, then I'm going to go with Alabama. I do think that it's an interesting situation with Florida. People try to make it a quarterback controversy. It's not. He's going to be playing two quarterbacks, same as Florida did, 15 years ago when they won the national championship. I understand that Alabama is, having some injuries at linebacker, and it's Bryce Young's first real test away from home since he was such a strong pro-Bama fan against Miami. But Florida's got a chance. But until Alabama proves to me they're going to lose, I'm going with Alabama.
And you're upset.
I'm going to take Florida State. They were the victim of the biggest upset this last week. They're a 5-point underdog going to Wake Forest. Florida State, if they've lose this game, they will have lost five out of the last six games, three in a row. They've only won three games since Coach Norvell came. I just can't see them opening with three losses and losing to Wake Forest. If they do, it's going to be a really, really long season for Florida State. I'm going to go with Florida State to go to Wake Forest and win that game.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.